So for those of you who don't know, I'm Jo Batch. I'm the Children's and Families Mission Leader here. And this is our One Life service. So this is our service where we get to worship our Lord and our God as one, just as God intended us to worship him, all ages together. So I'd like to start with our reading. It's from 1 Thessalonians 5, 11 to 15. And it says this. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in their highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Will you take my words, Lord, and will you make them yours? In Jesus' name, amen. So as we continue to follow our one another service, today we look at the final chapter of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. Paul tells us to encourage one another and build one another up. Now, I wonder if you'll do something for me. I wonder if you'd all stick out your tongues. Can you do that for me? I would like you to look down at that tongue. Stick it right out, and if you look down, you should be able to see it. Now, I want you to have a look at the tongue of the person sitting next to you. Okay, I think that's enough. Pop them back in. Now, those tongues are very powerful. With those tongues, we can build someone up and we can knock someone down. Words that are spoken to us, about us and over us can have a lasting effect on our lives. The things we say to each other can never be unsaid. They can become part of us. We hold on to them. We can start to believe them. And that includes the things that we say about ourselves. How many of us find it really hard to accept any positive feedback? It's not always easy, is it? I struggle with it. You go, oh, no, it's just... Scientific studies actually show that positive and negative words not only affect us on a deep psychological level, they can have significant impact on the outcome of our lives. In our brains, we have something. Now, this is me being sciencey. Bear with me. I'm not sciencey at all. Inside our brains, we have something called the parietal lobe. Posh, isn't it? This lobe processes sensory information from the outside world. And over time, having positive thoughts about ourselves produces changes in the parietal lobe. This changes the perception of ourselves and those around us. Isn't that amazing? So those, it actually does do something to our brains, the brains that God has made us with. He knows that, doesn't he? We might go, wow, that's amazing. He knows that. He made our brains like that. Sadly, it also has the same effect with negative thoughts. How many of us still remember the things that were said about us as a child? Go on, put your hands up. I can see hands going up. We do remember it, don't we? Lots of us do. They were probably one-off things. But what about the things that have been said over us time and time again? It's scientifically proven that what is said over us becomes who we are. It's a bit of a scary thought, isn't it? And there we are, we're back to the power of our tongues again. And not only what is said to us, but what we say about ourselves. And it's not just children whose perceptions can be changed, it's adults too. In Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he's expressing the importance of encouraging one another and... Just checking that you're still awake. Proverbs 10 says, a good person's words are a fountain of life, but a wicked person's words hide a violent nature. Now that might sound a little bit dramatic when applied to our circumstances, but we're also told in Luke that a person brings good out of the treasure of good things in his heart. A bad person brings bad out of his treasure of bad things. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. It sounds like we need to be kind to ourselves to have that change of heart. If we think positive things about ourselves and we think positive things about others, we can actually train not only our hearts but our minds too. And the ability to give encouragement comes out of a grateful heart. Sarah had us all talking about the things we want to thank God for, the things we want to celebrate. And that's a grateful heart. A heart of love and a heart to bless others. Now, I'm sure that most of our brothers and sisters here would not dream of speaking negatively over each other. Am I right? But how many of us engage in banter? If you're not sure what banter is, I have the definition. The definition of banter is the playful and friendly exchange of teasing remarks. Nothing wrong with that. Just a bit of fun. But what if those things you are teasing someone about just hits that place of pain? What if they were the things that were spoke over that person in the past? And how good are we at knowing when to stop? It's really, really easy, isn't it, to go just that little bit too far. And what of those who use banter to get their grievances across? Who remembers that old saying, many a true word said in jest? It's food for thought, isn't it? So we are to build each other up. And in our reading today, verses 12 and 13 say this. Dear brothers and sisters, honour those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. And live peacefully with each other. And a little while ago, Sarah spoke, didn't she, about not speaking badly of our church, of not speaking badly of Jesus's bride. And our scripture today asks us to honour our leaders in God's work. And at this present time, that's Sarah. Our leaders carry far more than any of us will know. At the moment, Sarah's carrying that on her own. And I think you'll all agree that she's doing a great job. Oh, I'm going to be in so much trouble for that. Sorry, Sarah. She's going to kill me for that. And we are grateful to her. So let's honour her and respect her and give her our wholehearted love as she, for this time, stepped faithfully into that place of authority of leading our church. Romans 13, verse 1 says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." And that is not an easy position to hold. James tells us that those who teach will be judged more strictly. So let's build her up, speak well of her. Hebrews 17 says, "Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be to your benefit." Now, this doesn't mean that we follow our leaders blindly or that they should not be challenged or accountable for their actions, as it's important that we're honest and open with each other. But we must do these things in love, from a pure heart, and this will enable us to live peacefully with each other. Next verse in today's reading says, "Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone." The work of looking after each other is not just that of our leader. We all have a part to play. We are the church, and we have a shared responsibility. Here, Paul is talking about the moral progress of the congregation. And we don't just build each other up with encouraging words. We build each other up by looking out for one another. And that can be done in many ways, but always, always in love. And doing something in love doesn't mean a soft touch. It doesn't mean being a soft touch, unless indeed that's what is needed. It means doing what is best for your brother and sister, and that will be different for each and every one of us. Some of us may need elevating. We may have a really low opinion of ourselves and need that opinion raising for our own well-being and to be a blessing to others. But in contrast, some of us may have a raised opinion of ourselves. We may need grounding for our own sake and for the sake of others. We need to be strong for those who cannot be strong for themselves. Speak up for those who don't have a voice. And be patient with those who are different from ourselves, or indeed those who have different opinions. We also need to be courageous in challenging what we know is not right. And if challenged ourselves, we need the grace to listen and to correct what is wrong in us. The word encourage means to fill with courage. Do we have the courage to challenge or and to be challenged? And finally, our reading says, "See, no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people." And I'm back to those old sayings again. How many of us heard our parents saying, "Two wrongs don't make a right"? Paul, when he was talking about being a living sacrifice to God, said, "Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, 'I will take revenge. I will pay them back,' says the Lord. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good." You see, God doesn't want us to be bound up in anger or in seeking revenge. It hurts us, it damages us, and it gives us a bitter heart. God wants to take that from us. And in giving our anger and our want for revenge to him, we can be free. So let us encourage one another and build one another up. I just want to leave you with some of the words that God speaks over us. Take them to your heart. Allow them to change you. Allow them to become who you are. "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I take great delight in you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are forgiven. You are beautiful. You are chosen. You are mine." Amen.